You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast. We are live, baby, on YouTube with Diego Lorin. We got a bunch of people joining us live, and we got about 25 minutes to give Diego Lorin some therapy after a disastrous weekend all around for Barca. And we'll look ahead to the Champions League. And who knows where else this podcast will go. I do have some interesting questions for Diego lined up as well. I'm going to throw some curveballs at him. But Diego, welcome, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's Tuesday. Our week started off with the surprise that our kids were not going to school. Hence why we're recording today, as a matter of fact, Kian.
Big snowstorm in Barca?
No. So what teachers, what schools do here, public schools, is like teachers, they're notoriously known to have a lot of holidays, right? Because they somewhat take the same holidays that the kids have. Well, on top of that, they also have these days where they are obliged to take holidays. And those are kind of sometimes casually dropped on parents that are maybe unsuspecting. Or like, I mean, I was alone all last week, so this one kind of flew by me. Over the weekend we learned, hey, you guys are free on Monday.
They can do that? They just take last minute vacation?
No, it's bad parenting. It came down to us. It came down to me really not being on top of my kids' schedule. So,
oh, so you did know, but or you
other
were supposed
parents
to know.
Made me aware. Yeah.
Got it.
I was, yeah. But it's a completely random one, as in like the reason for them taking holiday is they have these extra days that they have to take and they just fill it up there. So what's up, man? Anyway, here we are live. I'm making sure that my shit looks good. You're over in Austria. I'm over here in Barcelona. We have a lot to
I don't
talk
know
about
if this
it.
Is Austria, bro. I think it's Germany.
Germany. Sorry,
last time I checked.
Yes. My bad. How do you get there?
Am I in Austria? What?
How do you get there?
You just fly. It's not like on a different planet.
Listen, you idiot. I know that. Don't like them. You know exactly.
I know you don't like Germany. I know you don't like Germany.
You know exactly what I mean. How did you get there? Leipzig doesn't have a massive airport or anything. It's not like directly connected. What were your layovers?
So I flew to Frankfurt, and then I had a connecting flight from Frankfurt to Leipzig, which got canceled. I don't know why. No one knows why. So they put me on a train. So I got to see some scenic views and do some work on the train. Nice. And then I took the train.
Fantastic. Was that that hard? It wasn't that hard. Okay.
It took up like 45 seconds of precious time to explain that.
All right. Well, we are pressed for time. So let's get down to it. Tough weekend indeed. At this point in time, even you have to say that La Liga's in the bag. So again, congratulations.
Never. No. Oh. What's the point difference? I think it's, what is it, five between Real Madrid and Girona? What is it between Barca? I mean, between Barca. What is... I'm going to lose track of the point difference between us and Barca.
It doesn't really matter. It's
Oh, it's only written, 10.
It's written on the walls. I mean, there's no chance that this season, let alone Barca, but even Girona, after watching that highly anticipated anticlimactic matchup between 1 and 2, I hope that even you now realize that a Clásico is always needed and always better when both teams are at their best, let's say. Because last time you were kind of like, yeah, I don't really care if Barca are good or bad. As long as Madrid are good, you're happy with that. But there's no chance that a Girona-Madrid, Madrid-Girona can replace or represent the rivalry and the battles that Barca and Madrid have had over the years. And
give it a few years.
Come on, man.
City Football Group continue pumping money into it, all of a sudden we're going to be playing against Erling Haaland, Girona versus Real Madrid.
That's no joke, actually. That could actually be true. But, man, what an uneventful weekend, dude. What another frustrating weekend.
Uneventful or unideal for you?
Well, just as I was very disappointed
at the Montjuic
with Madrid against Girona. You know, I was expecting a lot more, despite the fact that Girona came in there limping and hindered. It was just not a good match. It was not what I wanted to see.
You know who else came in limping into that game? The first time in Real Madrid's history, no center backs on the field.
I know. Okay, yeah. Sure. Great goals, though. I mean, it was a good game. I'm not here to discuss Madrid. I'm sure you've beaten that one to death anyway. But it was, from a neutral perspective, great goals, commanding win. And come on, it sets you up with the league trophy. At least give me that. Don't try to, like, there's no jinxing here. This one is in the bag. Come on, dude.
I appreciate the sentiment. It's never over until it's over. So, but we're in a great position. The thing is, 5 points in a normal year. Let's say if you were going Real Madrid versus Barcelona in 2012, where one of us is 5 points behind each other. I think in that case, no one would say it's over. The only reason we're saying it's over is because no one really believes in Girona at this point. Do they? Michel himself said it was over, basically.
Michel himself, yes.
Yeah. So I think it's more of like there is no trust in Girona to continue going and continue fighting. Having said that, Bellingham's now out for 3 weeks. The center back positioning and the depth list is still dire at Real Madrid. It's on Real Madrid to drop points at this point, which is not impossible. Another loss and it's a 2-point gap. So I think we have to be careful.
But you pointed out something really, really apparent and also telling. Michel, man.
Yeah.
After the press conference talks about we don't have a dog in this fight. It's clear that this is not our league. Me han pintado la cara. They painted my face, right? They steamrolled us. All things that I think are
They painted
true.
My face is a crazy thing to say.
Okay, don't try to...
Is it a Spanish thing?
Racist. It's not racist.
No. That's not what I was implying. I was implying something more X-rated. Is it a Spanish phrase?
Sí, me han pintado la cara. That's literally...
If like an NBA coach said that, it would be memes for years.
Why do I feel like that would be twisted into something racist in today's society? I think that would be like, oh, we're black paint, blackface, painted black. You know it would. People would absolutely...
Yeah, probably would. Yeah. Let's change the subject. It's live. We can't edit.
Listen, thank you for pointing it out. No, but let's switch the attention back to Michel and his post-match press conference, because that was, if the game itself, and like I said, I was particularly looking forward to it. I was over at friends. We had nice beers. It was a good atmosphere. I'm thinking like, this is going to be a fun game of football. And then, you know, to have that air gets sucked out of the room so quickly was a disappointment. And on top of that, then you get home, you read the press conference statements, and he talks about he just waving the white flag. And I think that even for Girona fans themselves, you know, Catalan people as a people, Catalans are very nuchter, very sober, very, very sort of down to earth. But even they must have felt disappointed hearing their coach basically say, with 5 points adrift, an entire second half of the league still to go, we're never going to win this. We don't have a, you know, this is not our league. This is not our bone to pick. And saying also the evident, the truth, and that was that in that game, but Madrid would just steamroll it, making it such a one-sided affair. It wasn't even fun to watch. So
I interpreted his comment a different way, and I didn't actually see that press conference to kind of see his tone and stuff, but I interpreted it more like, listen, if we're talking about the size of the club, there's different tiers in Spanish football. There's Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atletico. And then there's our group of Girona, Real Sociedad, Athletic. I don't know who else he mentioned. I don't remember. But he mentioned other clubs that we're in the same tier as.
Yeah.
And I interpreted that as like, look at our budget. Look at what our expectations were at the beginning of the season. Let's be realistic of where we are currently. I don't know if it was more like, you know, we're done here. The league is lost. And the internal message may also be different than what he said publicly too. That's the way I interpreted it.
So that was my next point. If you're a player, so one is from the fans' perspective. They're like, oh well, that, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
The players hearing that message, if when he walks back in a locker room, he's like, you know what, guys, that's all bullshit, guys. I still believe. Like that's not going to land the same way. I mean, as a player hearing your coach make these kind of statements, you're also like, yeah, fuck. I mean, you know, we've done good enough. And all fairness, the budget comparison is an accurate one and is a right one. Is this really their league? Well, from the start, the first objective of a Girona, of Osasuna, of, you know, Getafe, Almeria, Cadiz, etc., is stay in the Spanish first division. Remaining, you know, permanencia, right? Secure Spanish top flight, the first division football. That, of course, is the prime objective. Then we know European football, not always in the interest neither of the teams with a lesser budget, because that takes away from their focus of their primary objective, which is to remain in Spanish top flight. But if you're in such a unique position as Girona, I mean, who was it? Ranieri with Leicester?
Yeah,
I don't think that he would have. I don't remember how that season panned out. They were leading a lot, I feel, at the top of the league. I don't know how long they were in second place for. I don't even know if they trailed by 5 points. But something tells me that Ranieri wouldn't have said after a 4-0 beating against the closest contender that season, City, Chelsea, hey, you know what? This isn't really our fight. This isn't really our league. At this point, with 5 points adrift, you still in the shot, and a real shot to actually make life uncomfortable for Real Madrid, possibly make the fairy tale come true and win it. You can't come out after that and give such a disheartening and defeated post-press conference. That was, I don't know, man. That's just my take.
Do you think somewhere in the world, Bernd Schuster was watching that press conference and was like standing up applauding? Yes. League is over. More coaches have to come out and say that.
He's like, he's right. You know, he is right. It is over. Well, and then from that, of course, yeah, Keanu, the 3-0 debacle disaster that took place in the Bernabeu. I was going to say the Lluís Companys was. You called it Barça games the most entertaining so far this season.
They never disappoint, dude. They never disappoint. Like, I have to either something happens. Like, there's a bunch of goals. There's a bunch of bad defense. Barça are still decent enough offensively and have individual talent to put goals in the final third, create them enough at a higher enough clip where that side is generally going to be entertaining enough. Their defense is also terrible, and teams have figured them out how to exploit the space behind their back line. And in some cases, like I think it was Girona's second goal, but I can't remember, I lost track, where it wasn't a transition attack. It was just Christensen and co just deciding that they don't want to pick up any of their markers. It's never disappointing. If you're just a football fan, but watch Barca. Shit goes down. 6 goals, 8 goals in one game. It's happening. And it's usually evenly distributed or on the side of the away team. That's the shocking thing. All these games, Villarreal, Girona, yeah. Granada this weekend, we're all at the Montjuic. I don't know if you consider that home, but it is for now.
I'll do you one better.
Okay.
Granada, the only other time that they managed to pick up points away from home so far this season was against Almeria and now Barca. Shocking stuff, dude. Yeah, I can see why it's entertaining, more so for the football neutral and, of course, the Madridista. You talk about offensive individual brilliance, and that's certainly true. Look, everything you said, you're not wrong, clearly. But it's a missed opportunity for Barca to secure 3 points and, more importantly, their spot within the top four. What concerns me is not just the individual errors that continue to hinder this team dramatically so, defensively speaking, and, you know, there's no point naming names. You mentioned Christensen. There's other, you know, it was Marc-André Ter Stegen's first game back as well. He got in some questionable shots on goal that you feel like Primark would have done better. Whatever the reason, excuse, the most concerning thing is to see that drop in energy and that this team continuously allows themselves to experience these dips and lapses in concentration consistently every single game. sorry. And I look ahead and I look at the schedule and I pull it up in front of me. And what concerns me most is if this continues to happen, as it has been, it's been a reoccurring pattern. Forget Napoli, like forget the Champions League. Focusing on La Liga exclusively, we have away in Balaidos. That's coming up this weekend. Now, you know, you can say, well, Celta, man. Balaidos historically always been difficult for us. Away in La Catedral against Athletic Club, the team that just knocked us out of the Copa del Rey, very strong at home, but they don't need an introduction. Away at the Wanda Metropolitano a week after that.
I like this. I didn't know any of this.
Week after that, away. Sorry, no. Make that 2 weeks. No, a week after that, excuse me. Away in the Bernabeu.
Oh, great.
2 weeks after that, away in Montilivi against Girona.
Maybe you'll be lucky with the Bernabeu one and the league will be over and Ancelotti will play Modric's false nine again.
The schedule is not in Barca's favor. All I pray for, Kian, is a finish in the top four at this point.
And oh, come on. You got top four.
No. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't even finish it. Away, Montilivi. We have in between there, Real Sociedad, Valencia. Fine. And then the final game away in the Sanchez-Pizjuan against the Sevilla. That may be their last game. They're fighting for promotion. Who knows? For survival. It's the schedule's this. Very tough for this team that is, especially for a team that is so mentally fragile right now. So you say top four for sure. Dude, the La Liga trophy is more in the bag than Barca are securing top four at this moment in time. I'm very concerned.
Guerra, fight for Xavi, Lamine Yamal, carrying the team. You'll be fine.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all,
It's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Crazy, huh? 16-year-old stepping up. I mean, did you see that? His performance? It was awesome.
He was, I mean, he is one of the bright spots. Yeah. So hopefully for you guys, you can keep your players. I know. I mean, he is on a pretty modest salary, and he's a young player. So he'll be at Barca for a few years at least. Frankie, massive salary, clear path to make money in terms of players you can offload for money. And you'll enlighten me on something. Report from Sport today or yesterday that Barca is going to sell Barca Studios for $100 million. Can you please explain to me, what is Barca Studios? Is it a real thing? Who's paying $100 million for it? Is it worth anything? What is this fabricated Barca? I thought they already sold it. What is this?
I was going to say, isn't it amazing where Barca are able to sell Barca Studios for like a third, fourth time?
Can we invent Churros Studios and sell it for $1 million?
$1 million. You saw this report today. I mean, these reports pop up from time to time. It's hard to keep up, quite frankly. I mentioned recently a Athletic article where they went into quite extensive depth, let's say, of where Barca are still owned money. So the way I understand it and the way it stands as of now, RodesandSocios.com, and when I say Rodas, I mean his company, which was called, I forget. I'm blanking on his company. But basically, two of the investors, the two groups, had not fully committed yet. So the big problem and burden on Laporta's shoulder right now is that he hasn't secured the financing in its full. Now, if it's Barca Studios, if it's Barca Productions, or there's also talks of BLM, which is the merchandise branch of the club. They've able to basically compartmentalize it and fracture the company in such ways where they're able to sell off different organizations or branches of it. The point is, Barca Studios hasn't been fully sold yet. Now, your next question is what hasn't been sold, worth $100 million? You know, I don't know how to answer that. Like,
me neither.
I haven't seen the books. I don't know how they evaluate the work that gets done at Barca Studios, also known as Barca Productions.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the books. I don't know what evaluations they put on the content, especially now where it's been significantly downsized, Keon. As you know, and as the longtime viewers will know, I worked at Barca TV, which was part of Barca Studios that became Barca Productions. So, and right now, 150 of us, most of us are still out of a job because of it. So I don't know how they put these evaluations on these branches, these organizations, but let's see. Obviously the money is needed. I am highly skeptical at this point whether anybody would pay $100 million for it, or if it will continue to be a case of people promising, companies promising investments, but never really coming fully or going through with it. You know what I mean?
We only have 3 minutes left, and we have a super chat from one of our YouTube members. Going to bring it up here. Johan Juarez says, interested to see if Diego has anything to say about the refereeing in that Barca game.
No. Do you? I mean, you got to be more specific.
Johan, be more specific. I watched this game in the airport, so I wasn't absolutely locked in on it. But wasn't there something about Barca's third goal, a foul or something?
No. I mean, if it's, again, honestly, not to my knowledge. Now, I will also confess that once the debacle started to go down, I started to get increasingly more frustrated and walk away from the TV. But as far as to my knowledge, there was no foul doing. There was something with Cubarsí, but I don't think that was leading up to the goal. But yeah, be specific, man, because I don't know. I don't think there was anything wrong here, no.
All right, so I wanted to ask you something that that caught my eye when I was kind of perusing the news when before we started to record. And it goes back to a player that we both like. It's a throwback a little bit, Romario. And you and I were talking about Romario a few weeks ago because the that clip came up of him. He's like almost 60. He's playing football and he's still cooking people in Brazil. And I don't know if you saw this, but he said he was talking about.
Yeah, I saw that.
Players.
I know where you're. Yeah.
You and we know Romario, right? He is the guy of supreme confidence, has always put himself as possibly the GOAT, although there are a couple exceptions. So here are the list of players that he said he's better than. Haaland, Mbappe, Luis Suarez, Rivaldo, Bebeto, Zico, and Neymar. I'd agree with most of that list. Here are the players that are equal to him. Ronaldinho, Ronaldo Nazario, Messi, Cristiano. And here are the two that are better than him, Maradona and Pelé.
Yeah.
How much of that list do you agree with? You saw this guy play.
Yeah, yeah. And quite frankly, he was that dude. There's no doubt about it. When he was at PSV and then at Barça, he was quickly that guy that you'd never seen before. As in the goals that he scored, the amount of goals that he scored, how he scored them, his speed, his agility, his you know, tactical skill. He baffled everybody that saw him play. And I definitely would put him up with Adinho. I put him up there with Ronaldinho. I think that in that bracket, in that scale, he mentions Diego and Pelé, you know, rest in peace as being... I would have liked to have heard the name Johan Cruyff, quite frankly. I would have liked to have seen him put himself up to Cruyff. Cruyff, a person that he massively respected, didn't always see eye to eye with. Cruyff was his coach, of course, at Barca, but had a very respect. Cruyff was always a very pro-player kind of coach, meaning that he gave the players a lot of importance and allowed Romario to go out until 3 a.m., knowing that he wouldn't drink. Romario was somebody that didn't drink alcohol but did party until the late early hours, or told him famously, he said, you know what, if you score two goals by the halftime, you're allowed to go and go to the airport. He had to catch a plane from El Prat, from Barcelona to Brazil, to get there on time for Carnival or something. And he was like, can I leave at halftime? And Cruyff said, if you score two goals, you can leave at halftime. And he scored a hat trick in the first half. And off he went, right?
It's a great story.
Yeah.
But forgotten. I mean, he didn't mention Cruyff or Di Stefano on that list.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Two of the top seven players ever.
For sure. So, you know, Dinho was magic. Obviously, OG Ronaldo was, I would say, Romario on steroids. Like, it was just a little bit, it was like a 2.0. It was like, oh my God, here's another guy coming from Brazil, plays for PSV, the exact same club where Romario played for just years, a couple of years prior, and then makes the move to Barca. And oh my God, this guy's running. He's like even more crazy, more incredible, more unique than Romario. So I would put Nazario up a little bit higher than Romario personally. But, you know, it's also like the longevity. And I feel like Romario gave up too quickly on European football. And for him, it was more important to be amongst his people, amongst his own. And he didn't want to show the discipline either, as we've seen with so many Brazilians. But, you know, he was out of here. I mean, after Barca, it was kind of, you know, it was over. It was downhill from there. He played at Valencia a little bit, but yeah, that was the end for Romario.
He was an unbelievable player. And I don't know, like, his specific PR is not as strong as some of the other great strikers of all time. I'm not entirely sure why. It could have been the European legacy as a whole, apart from Barca that you mentioned. We got to run. I'm going to read one more super chat from Samir Zarur. He says, keep it up, Keon. Super great effort. 4-1 today. Thanks, Samir. So, Diego, I'm heading to Red Bull Arena right now.
Hey, you're a machine. I tweeted, you're a machine. These live sessions are fun. I'm happy that we're incorporating churros in it too.
Yeah. They're great. They're awesome. I don't know why we didn't do it.
You're doing great work.
Yeah.
You're doing great work.
Well, you are, too, man.
All your tweets, your pictures, and you know, you are that dude for international Real Madrid news. So keep it up.
A couple things. So
You're welcome. I mean, that was...
Well, thank you. Thank you. I don't do good with compliments. I don't like... Sorry. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. I'm going to be doing a live stream at 8 p.m., an hour before the game, right from Press Row. And then going to be doing another one about 1 hour after the game, midnight CET, live stream again from the stadium. So keep it locked around that time for both of those events. Diego, I also had some feedback for you. Your username on the live stream is Sup. Maybe you didn't know that your name was going to be public. You got to put your handle, your Twitter handle on it so people know where to follow you. That's for next time. What else? When are we doing Patron Edition, the raw edition of Churros?
Well, end of the week, Thursday, if we can. I mean, what's your schedule like? Usually we record on Thursday, but I guess you might be flying, right?
I fly to Madrid on Wednesday morning. So Thursday, I should be okay.
You're in Europe still. You're not flying straight back. Okay.
No, I'll go to the Rayo game and then come back after that. So we can do Thursday. So listeners, if you want the raw, juicy edition of Churros, that's over on patreon.com/churros. E Tacticas. And we are, I guess Barca don't play Napoli this week. It's next week, right? So we'll talk about that next week.
That's right. So I'm just going through the comments now. Scally, what's up? Scally, what's good?
Bro, I don't have time for this part right now. If you're going to go through all the comments, I got to go.
Goodbye, Keon.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you in about 2.5 hours from the stadium for Leipzig pregame. All right, Diego. Great chatting, buddy. Catch you soon. Later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.